You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on March 3rd, 2019, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent in those days told no one of any of the things that they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seized him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Today is the last Sunday in the season of light called Epiphany, and this morning we'll take one last look at God's radiant light before we welcome in Ash Wednesday and the beginning of the season of Lent. Throughout the Bible, we learn that whenever God wants to reveal himself to his people, a special light appears. This light is not an ordinary light. It is a light infused with supernatural energy and presence. Sometimes it even takes the form of a fire. The Hebrew word for this special manifestation of God's presence is Shekinah, and we see it in the faces of all that we love. We see it in the faces of newly baptized. We can see the faces in the faces of those who receive Holy Communion. We can see it on the faces of those who have offered forgiveness and those who have received forgiveness. We can see it on the faces of the newly ordained. We can see it also in the face of a dying woman who has lived a full and good life. We can see it wherever our hearts have been opened through the power of prayer. Shekinah has a long and rich history with God's people. In the book of Exodus, we learn the Israelites were led through the wilderness for 40 years by pillars of fiery Shekinah that created flames so high they could be seen in the sky. Moses encountered Shekinah on Mount Sinai, and on his way down the mountain, carrying tablets containing the Ten Commandments, the face of Moses was shining with Shekinah, because he had been speaking directly with God. Now, skipping ahead several centuries to the time of Jesus and his disciples, this ancient Shekinah has also reached God's people. We are told that Jesus took Peter, John, and James up the mountain to pray, and then something big, really big, happened. Two great Hebrew leaders, Moses and Elijah, missing and presumed dead, are now alive and talking to Jesus. They are bathed in life-giving and life-sustaining Shekinah, and along with Jesus, he becomes so brimming full of it that he's now a dazzling light. And the three disciples, perhaps exhausted from their long and arduous hike up the mountain, are quickly awakened from a state of, well, let's say, spiritual slumber. And now they are fully awake, even a bit terrified, and they enter a cloud of God's presence, the likes of which that they have never seen before. They are told by God to stay awake and to listen to Jesus, which, of course, is the main objective of all forms of prayer. The disciples, at least for a moment, are in fact wide awake and at least temporarily changed. The rest of their lives will be a battle to hold on to this change. A word about change is a slippery concept. In the world of psychology and family systems, there's a concept known as first and second order change. First order change is when something that was once painful or unhealthy no longer can be seen or felt. It's kind of like symptom relief. Very important. Anyone that's had a toothache knows about symptom relief. And then there's second order change, which is really where are the sources of this pain coming from? And yes, by analogies, I would say root canal therapy. Notice they've added that. So you understand the first order and the second order. They work together, but so often we mistake the one for the other. So now getting back to Peter and James and John, how could they not be changed after witnessing something as amazing as the coming back to life of Moses and Elijah, the illumination of Jesus, and the unmistakable voice from heaven? But was it first order change? Or second order change, or a bit of both? Was it just a temporary spiritual high, or a deep and lasting change deep within their souls? A clue to the answer can be found when Jesus and the three disciples come down the mountain after the transfiguration. Immediately they are confronted by the urgent plea of a panicked father whose son is gravely distressed by either epilepsy or a demonic spirit. We learn that the father had first approached the disciples for help. But even though they had been at the top of the mountain with Jesus and experienced the miraculous power, they were not able to be a conduit, at least that day, to heal this man's troubled son. The disciples seemed to be unable to bring the Shekinah down from the mountain into this particular valley. Part of the answer, too, might be, and we all can relate to Peter, he wanted to, in a way, kind of box up the Shekinah and keep it on the top of the mountain. We'll build a tent here, a shrine here, and so forth. But what really we're seeing is the call to bring Shekinah down the mountain. Was it even fair to expect the disciples, after all, they were just human, to be able to cure a human being with such grave problems? It's hard to say, but the tone of Jesus' response sure seems to me that he expected more from his disciples than what they could deliver. The answer may be in their difficulty sustaining a life of deep and consistent prayer. C.S. Lewis, widely known as the author of the Narnia Chronicles and so many novels and other books on issues concerning the Christian life, is quite a following here at St. Thomas. Just come to our Wednesday night program and it'll attest to it. In the movie Shadowlands, produced in 1993, tells the story of C.S. Lewis's life, and the movie focuses on the relationship with his wife, Joy Gresham, also a writer. Both Gresham and Lewis met at Oxford. Even though Joy is diagnosed with cancer, the couple still decide to marry, for they have found Shekinah together. The movie invites us to witness their love and their pain, their grief and their struggles with God and with faith. Tragically, Joy dies, and Harry, a good friend, says to Lewis, "I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayers." To which Lewis, I'm just thinking, that is not what you said, tells when he's grieving. To which Lewis replies, that's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me, waking and sleeping. Praying doesn't change God, it changes me. So back to today's gospel story. It begins with a crucial opening line. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. I believe this is often overlooked. Today's story is all about the power of prayer and is what makes this transfiguration possible. Traditional interpretations of this passage emphasize the importance of Jesus' divinity being revealed, of establishing the connection between the Old and the New Covenants, or foreshadowing the resurrection of Jesus. While all of these are important, we are told that the reason Jesus led his disciples up that mountain that particular day was not so they could witness fireworks, but to experience God through prayer. Jesus brought Peter and John and James to the mountain to pray, to learn how to be in better and deeper communication with God, a deeper communion with him. We learn from the story of the Transfiguration that Jesus is the one who comes to get us, taking the initiative to lead us up, sometimes even carrying us up, to the challenging mountains of our lives. If we keep praying, Jesus eventually leads us to some luminous and interior place within our souls where we can be utterly dependent on God, not ourselves, for guidance and for strength. It is in this prayerful process that we receive a fresh infusion of Shekinah to propel us forward, and then extraordinary things begin to happen. When the old familiar ground is eroding or even collapsing from underneath, which I'm pretty sure happened to all of Jesus' disciples at some point, the new way of being is not yet established. It is terrifying. For C.S. Lewis, it was the loss of his spouse. For you and I, it could be a mountain of a different kind. But it all leads us to the same place, the invitation to pray, so that we all might be changed, and in that way, all be transfigured. It is on some holy mountain of God's choosing that God will fill us with Shekinah. It is there that God will use the power of prayer to carry us up the mountains, guide us through the clouds of unknowing, and bring us down valleys as embodied prayers in human vessels, bringing faith and hope and love into the world so that all might be transfigured. Amen. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.